On Wednesday evenings, we're going to take a look at our study here of the grape in the Scripture. And we, for our text verses, we've not left the book of Genesis. We've taken a look at these first handful of accounts in the Scripture. And so it starts off with Brother Noah and that situation there regarding him, an account of blessing with Melchizedek regarding Brother Abraham and his return from the slaughter of the kings. And then we saw the sordid affair with Brother Lot and his daughters and all that is, and took a look about drunkenness and what the Bible says about that. We also needed to take a look under that subject and under that topic is the blessing and the help that there is, namely in sedation. Scripture talks about that, of giving strong drink unto him that is ready to perish and wine to those that be of heavy hearts. There's a thing there that the Lord has blessed with, that there can be pain relief and help. But as we note, we don't need to pursue that by ourselves. We always need help. And of course, in our day, modern technology, the things that the Lord has allowed us to be able to discover and invent, we are all glad for cough syrup and muscle relaxers when we need them. We need to watch out. We can get out of hand with them. And we need to always be metered about it. Pain such as headache, and if you ever had a tooth pulled, arthritis. People suffer with arthritis all the time. It's very widespread. Injury. Aren't you glad that they can put you out for surgery? I mean, man, it'd be rough if they just gave you a bullet. Here you go, bite on this bullet. it would be impossible. And there were a couple things that I failed to mention last time. I'd thought of them but didn't get them in my notes. Want to catch up with them very quickly. In Luke chapter 10, our Lord tells us about account here of a man and that has been beat up and left for dead. Okay. And the Lord is talking about, there's been a question asked him in Luke 10, verse number 29, about who's my neighbor. And so the Lord lays this out about a man going down from Jericho, fell among thieves. He was stripped of his raiment, wounded, departed, leaving half dead. A priest came by, a Levite came by, they went around on the other side. But there was this Samaritan, a certain Samaritan, and he helped him. He helped him. He had compassion upon him. It says in verse 34, he went to him and bound up his wounds, Luke 10, 34, pouring in oil and wine. There is that antiseptic aspect. Why is there that antiseptic aspect? Because there's alcohol in there in that natural fermentation process. And so it's the preservative. It also, we see here, serves as an antiseptic. And so the man poured in oil, wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him into an inn and took care of him. And so we see that. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and again, culturally, in our time, we don't need this, but in Bible times, the good water was a problem. Cholera being one of the effects of dirty water. And so in time past, in different societies, civilizations, cultures, they've resorted to fermented drink from the standpoint of being something sanitary to drink. It was so in the days of the Apostle Paul. Thessalonians isn't going to work, is it? 1 Timothy chapter 5, the apostle recommends to the young pastor, Brother Timothy, in verse 23, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmities. And so there's a medicinal aspect of this, of the fruit of the vine in being fermented and such, that we even see from the Scriptures. And so we need to be aware of that and know that the Lord made that and did that in that day, and or has done it, and it was certainly used in that day and taken advantage of. Tonight, we want to finish out references in the book of Genesis. From the book of Genesis, we've been getting our text. I've mentioned these three different things. It was a low one, and then it was a high one. It was one of blessing, and then another low one. Interesting how that is on those first three occurrences. Let's go ahead and finish out in the book of Genesis tonight and take a look at the use of this, of the grape, and that which comes from it in the references in the scripture, okay? And so let's go to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27, and let's take a look here at the next one, the next thing that is mentioned in the scriptures regarding the great. Brother Isaac is here, and he is old, the scripture says in Genesis 21, verse 1, or 27, verse 1. And his eyes were dim so that he could not see. And he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, "My son," and he said unto him, "Behold, here am I." And he said, "Behold, now I'm old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out in the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." Esau's the eldest, and he's would get the blessing in that culture, in the way of the land and the way of the people of that day. He is the eldest. Rebekah heard this, and when she heard Isaac speaking to Esau, Esau went into the field to hunt for his venison to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, verse 6, saying, "Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now, therefore, my son," this is Rebekah speaking to Jacob, "go now to the flock, fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth." So she's got a plan. She's got something that she's working. "And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said unto Rebekah's mother, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I will seem to him as a deceiver. I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing." And so Jacob's thinking right in this. He's thinking, he said, this is just not a good thing to do. And the disparity between the two of us is so great. Daddy's going to find me out, even though he can't see. "And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son." Now listen, don't you let anybody ever tell you that. Because your party to meanness, it's going to come on you. Guaranteed. Okay? She may think well. She may think that she can do it. But those are hollow words. "Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them." And so he went and fetched and brought them. What a strait he was put in. He's willing, though, to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. Nothing but deception here. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands, and upon the smooth of his neck, on the backside of his neck. And she gave him savory meat and bread, gave the savory meat and bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" And Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn." So now he's lying. He's going through with it. "I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me." Verse 20, "And Isaac said unto his son, how is it thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." Now, if you and I would undertake to pursue wickedness, don't drag the Lord in on it too. That's just like triple, quadruple trouble. Don't say it was the Lord's idea. Okay? Lord help us. "And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son." He's wondering something, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" I mean, now it's come down to the wire. And he said, "I am." He had one more opportunity to steer out of this thing, Brother Jacob did, but he didn't. And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And so we see that's part of the provision here, part of the meal that is eaten here. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. It's a point of blessing. This is something, if you're going to give out a real good blessing, this is a blessing to be given by the brother upon his son. This of corn and wine, plenty of sustenance, plenty of a blessing and provision. And these are the things that are referred to. Would it be just that the one that's being blessed would just eat corn and just drink wine? No, it's a general reference to the blessing overall of life. No doubt like it is with us, with gardens and things that are planted and different kinds of things, vegetables and fruits and stuff that we enjoy at different times of the year. That's the blessing that's being conveyed. But look at the words. Look at the words that are being used to convey a cornucopia of blessing upon his son. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And that's the reason we need to be a blesser of Israel. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac, his brother, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also made a savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly. He begins to shake, brother Isaac does. And said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. Now, the blessing is going, hard for us to understand this, that the invocation of a father or the words and of a blessing would be a prophetic sense. But with these men, with this man upon his sons, it is held to. It's the work of God. And we would desire great blessings, but we can't invoke a blessing upon our children. We pray for blessings upon our children from God Almighty. But we can't invoke it. We can't say that it will be. We want it to be. But we know that we are given to prayer. But brother Jacob, brother Isaac, he blessed him, and he will be blessed. Verse 34, and when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, because this is the way it is in this culture and society, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. When they were out there and Esau was faint and he sold it for a bowl of soup of lentils, he took away my birthright and bold now he hath taken away my blessing, which he outright stole. He was unmerciful and unkind with the former and he's just outright stolen the latter. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? Listen to what he says. And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord. And all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. It's still the same reference of bounty and provision, of that of food and that of drink for sustaining in that land of Canaan. And so very interesting that those words and that reference is used for this great blessing. With corn and wine have I sustained him, and what shall I do now unto thee, my son? So I've given it to Jacob greatly. And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, Thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live and shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob, his brother. Hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words Esau, and these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and went and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise. Flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. You like that? You know, that way, give him time, son. He'll cool off and he'll forget what you've done to him. A mother's love. I think we're going to see something here about Rebekah's motivation in the end of the chapter. You know what? Look, the supplanter. See, it didn't have to be this way. And you that have been going to the nursing home, you've heard maybe this a couple times, because this is what some of what I've been preaching on at the nursing home touched on this account. It didn't have to be this way, but understand it didn't thwart the Lord in what he was going to do. It should have been an honest affair. It didn't take deception for God to work, but in spite of deception, the Lord worked. And look what this man got. He got the blessing. He got the birthright by a cruel way and attitude, and he got the blessing by deception. And now he's going to be on the run. It's really done him good, hadn't it? She wanted something. I think we'll see what it is here in a moment. Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, verse 45, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. And anybody that lures you into something, that's the way it's going to be. They're going to say, look what you've done. But hey, wait a minute, it was your idea. No, not in the end, not when it goes sour. It'll be your idea, not our idea. While it all goes well, it'll be our idea. So young people, beware. Let's all beware. And then I will sin and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And so there's something about Esau where Esau is indeed estranged from his mother. And Rebekah said unto Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these, which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? And I think we find her motivation. Esau has already married of the women of the land. And he being the firstborn, he getting the birthright and the blessing, being the head of the house, the prospect of brother Isaac dying and Esau being in charge. And what will happen? Esau's wives will be in charge. And Rebekah will no longer be in charge of the household. She'll be the mother of the son. But then these Canaanites, who have no understanding, no thinking about God, she is grieved by that. And as we've seen in the scriptures, took things in her own hands. But the blessing, a blessing of prosperity, and this of corn and wine is used. Then we want to come over here to Genesis chapter 40. Brother Joseph has been sold into bondage by his brethren. And he's there. He's been sold into Potiphar's house. And he got framed there in Potiphar's house by Potiphar's wife. He did a fine job. Potiphar didn't know what he owned. There was blessing and prosperity in Potiphar's house because of Joseph. The Lord blessed Potiphar's house for his son's sake, for Joseph's sake. And then this trap that was laid for brother Joseph by Potiphar's wife, she couldn't have him. So she's going to make it miserable for him, falsely accused, put into the prison of Egypt there. And then as he goes and is in prison, the keeper of the prison commits into Joseph's hands all the things of the prison. And he's a blessing. We see in Joseph that he has been sold into bondage even by his own. And certainly he is troubled. Certainly he does not understand why this is going on. But you know what? We see nothing in the scripture about Joseph having ultimately a bad attitude about this. Was he saddened? Indeed he was. Was he troubled? Sure. Did he cry out unto the Lord? I think that we can know that he did. He cried out unto the Lord. He prayed unto the Lord. Pardon me. Sorry about that. But we don't see him slacking up. You know, who it would be just natural for us to want to back off of what we could do for someone that erroneously, by error, became our oppressor. It would just be natural for us to slow down. But Joseph didn't. He was diligent. He was diligent even though he was wrongfully imprisoned. Now twice over. Well, in verse number, or chapter 40 of Genesis, we see this. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers and against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. So you got the butler and you got the baker. All right. They've offended Pharaoh, locked up in the clink. At least it wasn't like Nebuchadnezzar. Cut them up in pieces and make their house a dunghill. All right. So they're in jail. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in to them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, "Wherefore look ye so sadly today?" And he said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." And Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said unto him, "In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. And it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand." And Joseph said unto him, "This is the interpretation of it. Three branches, the three branches are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee into thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou was his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee," Joseph says, and "show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." When the chief baker saw the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket, there was all manner of bakements for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head." And Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee." And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler into his butlership again, and he gave the cup to Pharaoh's hand. And he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgat him. So here we have this dreams of this butler and this baker. And with the butler, He's the chief of all the butlers. He's right there very near Pharaoh. And the dream that he had was a dream of blessing, wasn't it? A vine that shot forth with buds that came out. And then grapes came upon it. And the blessing of prosperity there in the land and the blessing of him being the servant of Pharaoh, he takes of the grapes and crushes them into the cup of Pharaoh and gives it to him. I tell you what, everybody's got a smile on their face. It is a blessing. And it was a dream unto a good interpretation. Brother Jim, does the Lord send dreams now and they mean anything? No, not anymore. Those things aren't so. We have the Word of God now. And this time, there was no Bible. And the Lord worked through dreams. But now you and I, we have a dream. It might be indigestion. It might be some medicine that you took. You might just have a propensity to dreams, or you have dreams and you can't even remember what they are, which is probably good at times. But in this time, the Lord used dreams to send his word and to bless his son to be an interpreter of such. And here it is, this of the vine, this of the grapes, this of the cupbearer of Pharaoh, is a blessing. A blessing indeed. Nothing negative here at all for this man. And then here lastly, and interestingly, in the book of Genesis, we have Brother Jacob as he's come to a time of being old. And interesting with Brother Isaac, I didn't look up. I should do that. I should make a note in my Bible. Brother Isaac, he lives a lot of years after he sought to bless Esau. And ended up blessing Jacob. But he said, I don't know. I'm getting old. My eyes are getting dim. I don't know when I'm going to die. And he lived, I think, at least a few more decades, because Jacob was 20 years getting back into Canaan. And so I find that interesting, the way, and you and I know how it is with folks, and you and I will probably be one way or the other. Some folks think that they're just on the way out any time, I've known folks like this. They're just dying and dying and dying, and they're dying for decades. But then we see here this of Brother Jacob, and we just need to rest in our Lord. In verse number 1 of Genesis 49, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel, your father. Of course, Israel is the name given to him by the Lord there as he wrestled with the Lord. And that change and that name change upon Brother Jacob, and he began to see the calling of the Lord in his life. He began to trust the Lord and a great change in his life from self to the way of the Lord. He blesses Reuben in verses 3 and 4. Simeon and Levi, he speaks of them, of their wickedness that they had committed and the cruelty that they were responsible for. What we want to focus on is Judah. Judah. And listen, the blessing of Judah, other than that blessing of Joseph, stands out from all others. And it is a great blessing. And look at how it's worded. Look at the words that are used, the references that are at hand. Verse number 8 of Genesis 49, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. There'll be praise for you, Judah, from your brothers, the other tribes. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. This is prophetic. Not only so for Judah. You remember how it was with the judges, that Judah, in the time of the judges, was the first one to go and fight, well, asking Simeon to go with him, being sensitive to the will of the Lord without a leader and without a judge. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. And they will. They sure will. Judah is a lion's whelp. You know what that means? It's talking about a lion having a cub and it growing up, not to full growth, but heading towards maturity and very, very able, very, very willing. Our Lord Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And I think this is indeed a reference to that. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. Prosperity and getting what he needs. He stooped down. He couched as a lion, very cunning, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? Who's going to mess with Judah? And no doubt the brothers would look around and say, none of us. None of us. Not only for the man Judah, but also for the tribe and the end result. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. Shiloh, speaking about Messiah. It's talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Lord Jesus Christ tribe. This is his father in a sense, from the earthly sense, being of the tribe of Judah. Of course, and that descendancy is through Mary. Joseph was also of the tribe of Judah, but only the Lord Jesus' stepfather, if you will. A scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, until the coming of Messiah, and to him shall the gathering of the people be. And that's what Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. And he does. He saves sinners, and he'll gather the wicked to judgment. You will not be able to avoid, you and I will not be able to avoid the Lord Jesus Christ. You face him one way or the other. I beg of you, if you're here and you're not saved, you need to face him now with your sin and your need and what he says, his command unto you to receive him, to believe in him, to come unto him. It's prophetic all the way back, those hundreds, thousands of years previous. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Listen to this. Binding his foal. So prosperity of the animals. A blessing. I mean, they're herdsmen. Jacob's sons are. That's Jacob's trade, Israel's trade, herdsmen. And that of the foal, that of the livestock having young ones is the blessing and the continuing on of the herd. Binding of the foal. What's it say there? Binding his foal into the vine. Hard for us to gather this cultural wise. It just doesn't ring a bell with us. But I think among Israel, amongst the Canaanites, amongst the nation of Israel, to have this of the blessing of the Lord upon the livestock, upon the prosperity, because that means wealth, and into the vine, and his ass's colt under the choice vine. He's got provision. He's got the best provision, the greatest provision that you could ask for. And that's the reference here. Again, hard for us to get that culturally. But for them, it is a great blessing indeed. Binding his foal into the vine. It's like they're thinking about their house and their land and where they'll live and what they'll build and all that and where it'll be. And Judah's just got it all. He washed his garments in wine. Now, there's a plenty of it. There's plenty of it, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. Now, to be honest with you, I don't understand all about what that is other than a point of prosperity, a point of cleaning and just a bounty and provision. This is not a negative. This is very much a positive of great blessing and telling about our Lord. His eyes shall be red with wine. And that's not a negative. That's not talking about intoxication or drunkenness. He'll be blessed with provision and his teeth white with milk. From this, from Judah, came our Lord Jesus Christ. And this blessing, even back when Brother Isaac is blessing his sons, is speaking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, some 2,000, 1,900 years plus, he came. He did come. And his kingdom is at work and is at hand. We are all subjects and part of his kingdom, but it's the children that understand a place in the kingdom, in the working of the kingdom. If you're here and you're not saved, oh, I tell you what, don't be, as it was said in times past, don't be one of the subjects of the kingdom. By Jesus Christ, become a child of the kingdom. By repentance and faith. Repentance of your sins before God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The prosperity that our Lord will bring upon this old earth during his 1,000-year, during that millennial reign, will be mind-boggling to the inhabitants of the earth. It will be mine, and that'll be part of this blessing that was pronounced here, I believe, upon Judah. Just one aspect of it. And it'll all be because and at the direction and at the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Tell you what, if you're here without Him, you need Him. And we that have Him, we that are had by Him, may we rejoice in that. We are part of this blessing, indeed.